everybody. Hey, I'm Karen Hartglass, and it's time for It's All About Food. It's all about food. Thanks for joining me today. It's a lovely April day. And one of the things that I love about spring, well, maybe I don't love it. It's very appropriate, though, right now, because I hear the Mr. Softy truck passing through my neighborhood. And the Mr. Softy truck is filled with dairy products and appealing to all the kids in the playground where I am looking at them from my room. And it's an appropriate thing because we're going to be talking a lot about dairy today, cheese and dairy. So it's kind of humorous to hear that song competing with me right now. I don't know if you can hear it. Well, let's get right to it then. My guest is Dr. Neil Barnard, and he's the author of a new book, The Cheese Trap. He's a clinical researcher, author, and health advocate. He is an adjunct associate professor of medicine at the George Washington University School of Medicine and Health Sciences and president of the Nonprofit Physicians Committee for Responsible Medicine. Barnard is a frequent lecturer on issues of health, nutrition, and medicine, and is the author of several New York Times bestselling books, including The 21-Day Weight Loss Kickstart and Power Foods for the Brain and The Cheese Trap, I think maybe my favorite. So, Dr. Neil Barnard, welcome to It's All About Food.
Thank you. It's great to be with you today.
Thank you. Another wonderful, wonderful book. I'm so glad it is out there for people to access. And The Cheese Trap, as you call it, cheese is definitely a trap. The title is so appropriate.
Well,
so
I just
want to jump right into that. Can we talk about the opiates, the addictive nature of cheese? I've been telling people about this program and to listen in, and everyone, as you know, who eats cheese says, oh, I could never give up cheese. And there's a reason for that.
That is right. And it is funny how when the Cheese Trap came out, I was really wondering how people would react, and we seem to really have touched a nerve, because so many people will say exactly what you said. I could never give it up, or I could be vegetarian, but I couldn't possibly be vegan because I wouldn't have cheese. And yet, I think two things that need to be said. The first is, why would you want to get away from it? And the second thing is, why is it so darn hard? And can I tackle that first thing for just a second?
Please.
Because, you know, there are things in cheese that people don't know about. To state the obvious, cheese comes from milk. Milk comes from a cow. The cow is pregnant. And people may not think about that. But cows don't give milk until they've been impregnated, and then they give birth. It's about 9 months pregnancy, very similar to humans. And the farmers impregnate the cows every single year, not personally, but they arrange to have them impregnated so that they maximize their milk output. And so 9 months out of 12, the cow is pregnant. Pregnant cows make estrogens, female sex hormones. These estrogens end up in the milk. And they're just traces. But when you turn milk into cheese, you concentrate the fat, and the hormones go with the fat. And still, it's just traces. However, researchers in Rochester, New York, went into a fertility clinic and found that the men consuming the most cheese had the worst sperm counts and the lowest sperm motility and morphology, meaning that there's something about ingesting little traces of female sex hormones that it's not good for guys. It's not good for their fertility. At least we think that's the case. Then researchers in California looked at women who had been treated for breast cancer in the past. Those who ate the most cheese had a 49% higher risk of dying of their cancer compared to the others. And this was terrifying because what it means is these little bits of hormones that we think are innocuous in dairy, even if they are concentrated in cheese, we didn't really expect that the effects would show up in women having a higher risk of hormone-related cancer deaths, men's fertility. And then it starts you to thinking about, well, what if you give this to your child? Well, of course, Americans do give it to their children in very high quantities. And so maybe this hormone interaction is a big issue.
Maybe indeed. So that's number one.
Yes. Number two is Well, there's lots of other things we could talk about, the health effects, but maybe let me cut to what you were talking about at the beginning, which is why do we get hooked on it?
Well, you know, the reason why I wanted to talk about that is because I don't want people to feel bad about having a hard time giving up cheese.
Right. You know, and it's not hard to not eat it. It's an easy thing to eat a veggie burger without the cheese, or to have the bean burrito without the cheese. People can do that. But the issue, so it's not hard, but what they mean to say is, I find myself craving it. And if I haven't had it, it's sort of calling out my name. And I look forward to it. And what's that about? Well, it turns out that there are opiate chemicals in the cheese. And they're produced by the cow. And they're packed into the protein, which is called casein, C-A-S-E-I-N, casein protein, which is in milk but concentrated in cheese. When you digest the protein, these opiates come out. They pass to the brain, and they attach to the very same brain receptors that heroin or morphine would attach to. Only the difference is that they're not as potent as heroin or morphine, and they're not going to make you pass out. But they appear to be just strong enough that the person says, oh, that was nice. Let's do that again tomorrow. Let's have a little bit more. And I don't, you know, so what if I've gained 15 pounds? Okay, well, all right. you see what I mean? So that little devil on your shoulder has a lot more sway over you if the fattening food happens to also be addicting. And so cheese is salt, very high in salt. 2 ounces of cheddar has more salt than 2 ounces of potato chips. It's high in fat, and that salty, fatty part gets us kind of hooked. But I think these opiates are probably the real reason for that addictive quality that it seems to have.
People have such a problem or craving, like you said, with cheese, and it's really important to understand why that is. And especially in today's time, we're living in a really stressful environment. We may touch on politics later because it is connected to the dairy industry, but there's so much going on that's very frustrating. And just that little moment of, that little bit of comfort, I can see where people will reach out for it because times are hard. Now,
yes, but you know, we may love cheese, but cheese does not love us back. That's for sure.
Yes.
You know, it's, people turn to chocolate and sugar and alcohol and cocaine and all kinds of things for comfort. But cheese, we talked about the hormone effects that are going to hurt you if you're a man or a woman, according to the best science that we have. Stay tuned. There's more to be said, but it doesn't look helpful. It's 70% fat. Cheese and other dairy products are the number one source of bad fat, saturated fat. So read that as heart disease. Read that as Alzheimer's disease. And the proteins that are concentrated in the cheese happen to be the proteins that trigger problems like asthma, migraine headaches, rheumatoid arthritis for many people. So the price that we pay for that gooey, wonderful mouthfeel is huge, and the only reason people have put up with it is they never realized that cheese was the reason that their kids are chubby or that they've got migraine or that they have these health problems. And once they realize it, they've got tremendous power.
You know, you mentioned children being chubby. I know cases where doctors will recommend that children consume dairy and cheese when they're slim to gain weight. And how does that affect them as they get older?
Well, you know, if you're a farmer and you got a steer and you want to fatten up the steer for slaughter, what do you do? They use hormones in them, and it's perfectly legal to do. And you never thought about the fact, well, if I want my son or daughter to fatten up like a steer, I'll give them hormones. Obviously, one would never do that in a million years, or never want to do that, but that happens to be exactly what we're doing. The average adult consumes more than 60,000 calories worth of cheese every year. I'm speaking just of the cheese. It's about 35 pounds. And I'm not eating any, so someone else is getting 70. But
I'm not eating any either.
Well, then we got a couple people getting 70 pounds. So the point being, you might think, or people listening to the show might think, what are you talking about? Cheese, it's just one food. That one food has piled so high in the American diet that I think it's the real reason for the obesity epidemic. And lest someone think that can't be true, all the people listening to this program would probably say, oh, we're eating too much sugar. Isn't sugar the big problem? And sodas and so forth, that's the whole issue. Well, sodas are not health food. But soda consumption, and in fact all sugar consumption, sweeteners, has been falling for almost 20 years. Since 1999, we turned the corner on sugar, and it's been less and less and less and less and less. But what's been going up? Cheese. So I really think that's the big issue with regard to obesity.
I'm glad you brought up sugar, because we talk about sugar a lot on this program, and there are some that really believe the addictive nature of sugar is what many people have as a problem. I think sugar is more addicting than cheese, but cheese has its own properties that make it very appealing to many people and hard to kick.
Different people pick different drugs. There are some people who are smokers, and that's their whole thing, and I don't care how many warnings the Surgeon General may give, I just can't live without it. There are others for whom alcohol is their drug. For some people, it's a cup of coffee. For some, it's a Dr. Pepper in the morning. There are people where sugar is their thing, and they are going back and forth to the refrigerator at night. But one thing I would say for people who are having sugar, they never took a box of Domino sugar, poured it into a cup, and ate the whole thing. Mm. When they say they're a sugar addict, what they mean is, I'm eating a sugar cookie. And the sugar cookie has, some of its calories are sugar, but about half the calories come from fat. And that's a real issue, because fat in the cookie adds to your body fat without any conversion. To turn sugar into fat is a challenge for your body. So the fat part of it is a big issue, and cheese happens to be 70% fat. So that's, I think, a big reason why our kids are getting chubbier.
Well, I know a lot of people who listen to this program who are pretty conscious about food struggle with their weight, because I hear from them all the time. So if you're eating cheese, the cheese trap is for you. Now, early in the book, you talk about where cheese gets its, quote, flavor and aroma, and some of it, I haven't had cheese in almost 30 years, but it's really disgusting. And can you talk about some of those bacteria just to whet people's appetite about eating cheese?
Yeah, it's a funny thing. If, let's say you were in college, and you're a freshman in college and never been out of home before, and your roommate starts to have socks that are a little bit ripe because nobody ever taught him to do his laundry, okay? And after 3 or 4 weeks, you say, "What really? You know, what's the deal here?" Well, on the human skin, there are bacteria called Brevi bacteria, B-R-E-V-I bacteria, Brevi bacteria. And if a person hasn't washed or whatever, then they get this stinky feet smell. And people say, you know, that cheese is kind of stinky feet cheese. Well, it's not a coincidence. It's the same genus of bacteria. So your Limburger or your Munster is actually treated with exactly Brevi bacteria to make it stink that way. But it gets worse. When a person consumes food and digests food, in their digestive tract, butyric acid is formed by bacterial fermentation. And so if you're a grade school teacher, you have learned the smell when a little child gets upset and throws up on the floor. Vomit has a certain smell. And Parmesan cheese, as it so happens, the bacteria used in fermenting Parmesan cheese happens to create the same butyric acid, which is why it has this kind of vomity smell in the butyric acid in the cheese. But my favorite of all is if you go to Sardinia off the coast of Italy, there is a cheese called Pecorino cheese, and they leave it out and let flies land in it. And the flies lay eggs, and the eggs hatch, and maggots come out, and the maggots start digesting the cheese, and they refer to it as kazu marsu, which means rotten cheese. And you spread it on a cracker, maggots and all, and because the maggots can kind of jump a little bit, what the diner does is take a good slug of red wine, and then they put some of this kazu marsu on a cracker, so the cheese and maggots, and they hold a card up under their nose so the maggots don't hit them in the face, and they then put it in their mouth, maggots and all, and swallow it down. And yes, cheese is one of the
we are an interesting
things.
Lot, aren't we?
Well, why is it that this food that everyone admits smells terrible. But then people also are hooked on it, and it's one of these funny paradoxes in the food world.
Yeah, there are a lot of them, unfortunately. Now, you knock down a lot of myths, and we have so many myths in the health world about food. And so one of them you talk about has to do with goats and goat milk, because some people think, okay, cow's milk is probably not too good, so goat's milk, because I've heard the molecule in the goat's milk is similar to human milk, and so it's better.
Well, were that true, then it would be good for your baby, but not for you. I mean, keep in mind, human breast milk was designed for a human baby only up till the age of weaning, and goat milk was designed only for a kid up till the age of weaning, and cow's milk is for a calf up to the age of weaning. Goat's milk has a certain cachet about it, not because it's healthier, but for the opposite reason, because the fat in it is more, it has more of what is called saturated fat in it. It's a little bit more buttery. Plus, people imagine, oh, the goats, they must be on some little farm kind of not too far out of the suburbs, and maybe they treat them better or something like that. From a health standpoint, it is no better. It is probably slightly worse than cow's milk. For the people who care about animals and are concerned about the treatment of cows on farms or whatever, the goats are impregnated every year just like the cows are. The male goats are all killed because they just can't deal with them. And the same is true for cows. The male calves are all killed as well. It's veal. And no civilized person would eat veal. Everyone knows how they're treated, and mm-hmm. most people gave that up a long time ago. The females are separated from their mothers. This is true. This is the only way you get milk, is you impregnate mom, you take away her child so that she doesn't give the milk to child, and then you take it from her. And then the next year and the next year you impregnate her, and then finally, when she's not much use anymore, you send her to slaughter and replace her with her progeny, who then become your milk machines, and you impregnate them and separate their calves or kids away. So, no, there's nothing attractive about this industry. In my view, the cheese trap is all about health, but I really felt the need to put in a chapter about what the animals actually go through for all those 16-year-old kids who don't worry about prostate cancer or rheumatoid arthritis but do have a heart for animals. For many people, that's their biggest motivator.
Well, I know it was my biggest motivator.
Well, that's because you're a civilized person.
Thank you very much.
But, you know, I would not be going through all of this if I didn't have a way out. And so the idea of the cheese trap is, yes, I want the first half of the book to get people's attention so they understand there are hormones in it, there's cholesterol, there's sodium. But the second half of the book, I worked with Drina Burton, who is a genius in the kitchen. And she has come up with the best fettuccine Alfredo you ever had. No dairy at all. We have a cheesecake without a drop of dairy. And a little raspberry swirl you can put on the top, it looks beautiful and tastes great. And so we talk about the fun replacements for it. And if you have kids, there are a million ways to engage them in really having fun with their food. And if you're a grown-up kid and you want to try some nice recipes and new product at the store, the cheese trap is full of ways to fuel your adventure in dairy-free eating.
I like it ending on a delicious note, and Drina Burton definitely is a genius. Her recipes are wonderful, and people who are afraid to give up cheese, I like to say you really have no idea what you're missing, because the plant-based cheeses and sauces and creamy spreads are, I think, so much better. And they don't have stinky sock thing going on.
and why not? Take Kite Hill cheese, for example, which mm-hmm. you'll see in all the stores now. Kite Hill uses a regular cheese-making process with cultures, and they'll coagulate in a fairly traditional way. The difference is they don't start with cow's milk. They start with almond milk. Fair enough. You get cheese out of it. But there is no hormone in it. There's no cruelty in it. It's overall a healthier product. There is a brand called Treeline, another one, which is Miyoko's Creamery, and there are many others. But they might start with cashews for that kind of creamy flavor. So it is fun to try different ones and see which ones you like. Even so, you don't really necessarily need these foods. They're something to nibble on or to serve at a party, and they are miles ahead of the animal-derived variety. So yeah, I try them. And then also my own secret weapon is nutritional yeast, where mm-hmm. you got kids coming over and we're going to make a pizza, and one kid gets the green olives, and one's got the black olives, and one has the sun-dried tomatoes, and one of the kids has a little jar of nutritional yeast, which has zero fat, but it has a cheesy flavor, and they start sprinkling all these things on the pizza crust, and then they add a little sauce and so forth, and no cheese at all, but you've got a delicious, light pizza that has all the taste and no regrets.
We buy nutritional yeast in the 5-pound bag. That's how much we like
it. Yeah, exactly. It works really, really well on vegetables and all kinds of stuff. And
to know a little bit about the Bernard Medical Center, which started a little over a year ago. How is that going?
Oh, it's really, really been a fun thing, and we're in expansion mode right now. We started Barnard Medical Center here in Washington, D.C., because we wanted to provide medical care for people where we really focused on the cause of their condition. So if you've got diabetes or a high cholesterol level or high blood pressure, we can use medicines for those people who do need them. However, because all of these relate to food, we have a team of dietitians, and we have a whole schedule full of classes that people can jump in and take advantage of. And it just has been life-changing. So I have to say the doctors and dietitians and nurses are really happy to be able to work in this environment, but the patients are really happy too. So it's the Barnard Medical Center. We're here in D.C., and my hope is that before too long we'll be able to export this elsewhere.
My hope is that too. I'm glad you're there. I'm in New York, and my little plan probably doesn't include your medical center in it, but it's a model that should expand and people can learn from. So thank you for creating that and everything that you've done, and for writing The Cheese Trap, How Breaking a Surprising Addiction Will Help You Lose Weight, Gain Energy, and Get Healthy. Thank you, Dr. Neil Bernard, for joining me on It's All About Food today.
Thank you. It's been fun.
Okay. Take care.